Welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP. The mighty, yes, I said the mighty, 101.5 FM. I am Jim Samaria.
And I am Mark Plotnick.
Yes, you are.
Each week, Jim and I bring you music, backstories, and interviews from the most prolific and adventurous era for rock and roll music, the 1950s through the early 1980s.
Today's going to be an adventure.
It is.
I hope so.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available on Amazon and at Blue Village Vinyl in Westmont, Illinois.
And I have one. Yay!
And we're going to introduce our guest in 2 seconds. The book features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by my rock and roll guru, Mark Plotnick.
All right. And are we excited? Because
yeah.
I am. Today we are excited to have on our show the legendary singer of the Shadows of Night, Mr. Jimmy Sands. Jimmy, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Well, Jimmy, let's start at the beginning. Can you recall your earliest experience singing in front of an audience?
Yes, I can, basically. I was 7 years old, and I used to go to St. Paul, Minneapolis, Twin Cities, every summer, because both my parents worked, and they'd ship me up there for the summer. And my aunt liked to play pinball machines and drink beer. All my mother's sisters did, including my mother. Anyway, I would sit on the jukebox and, "Oh, that cute little boy, let's don't sing that country and western. Please help me, I'm falling in love with you." Hank Lachlan. And I used to do that all the time. When I got to be about 10 years old, that's when I figured out that I wanted to be a rock and roll singer instead of a baseball player, because I was a All-State baseball player, and I was scouted by teams. But the bar back, the bartender, her bar back does the glasses, was a 16-year-old girl, and I was just turning 11, and she would give me free Cokes and wink at me. And, and then when I was 12, I found out about rock and roll.
All right. Well, that, you know, so, okay, let's jump to the age of 14. You're in high school now.
Yeah.
Did you use any of that talent to do anything in high school, musicals?
Yeah, I was Conrad Birdie and Bye Bye Birdie. I sang in church choirs. I was the first tenor. I did a lot of honor and glory be to God in the highest. Did a lot of Bach fugues, stuff like that. I played saxophone, flute, clarinet, and oboe for 14 years.
Were you all self-taught on those instruments?
No. I took lessons, and I had amazing tone on saxophone, what they always said. My embouchure, which is how you hold the reed and that, was great. But once I got to varsity football, and I got on the varsity, I had to stop marching in halftime. So that was it, sophomore year. 14 years. I had over 20 first in the state medals and band competition, the jazz quintet, stuff like that. I could read, write, and transpose music.
Wow.
But nobody in the original band could. But I could, but I didn't play anything.
Well, I want to go back. You just mentioned your baseball career. I understand you had some really talented ball players in your neighborhood. Who was like on your little league teams and stuff?
Well, on my Pony League team and Legion, after that, we didn't lose for 2 years. The team was Greg Lozinski, Dave Kingman, Paul Splittorff, who was a left-handed pitcher, and me. I was a right-handed pitcher. And I threw 86 miles an hour in high school.
Not a bad team. They did pretty good in the majors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say.
Cool. Kingman. He's a great guy.
Is he? You still talk?
And Greg Lozinski lived right down the street from me in Prospect Heights.
Wasn't Kingman, he either struck out or hit a homer?
Yeah. He had the longest homer Cubs history or something like
yeah.
that.
Over the scoreboard?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Over the building. on
Waveland?
Waveland Avenue.
Waveland. Uh-huh. Or not in the top of the building, like...
He hit it up there.
Yeah. I can't think of the guy. He was only at the Cubs a little bit. But Kingman hit over the top of the building.
Well, let's talk about The Shadows of Night. And you started out as The Shadows, correct?
Yep.
And so tell us about how the band came about and how the name change occurred.
Okay, the name, I got three guys from an instrumental surf music band called the Montclairs. That was Thomas Fore, Warren Rogers, and Norm Gotch. And we talked about it, doing it. And in the meantime, I was rehearsing myself the first Kinks, the first Animals, the first Yardbirds. Albums and some singles, one of which was Gloria. And then we needed a bass player. We decided to put it together. So I got my tuba player from the high school band, because tuba and bass are a lot alike. It's a bass clef instrument. You basically boom, 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 you know. And so I tell this guy, he said, that was Wayne Purcell. And I said, Wayne, will your parents buy you a Vox T60 bass amp and a Gibson bass guitar? He said, sure. I said, you're in the band. And then we rehearsed, and I rehearsed as the keyboard player. I came in the band as a keyboard player.
He didn't ask me. Well, I play keyboards.
Well, first off, I didn't play keyboards. But I could play One Hand, A House of the Rising Sun, and Louie Louie. So the Prospect High School Music Department, the Prospect Knights, Shadows of Night, anyway, they lent me a piano. They didn't know it, but they lent me a piano. I snuck it out the window in the music room. I stole a piano. borrowed because I brought it back. But I brought it to practice, played it two songs. He said, okay, you're in. He said, you don't play that good, but you're singing. It's great. I said, okay. Then we started learning Kinks songs. And about 3 weeks later, Warren Rogers says, hey, where's your keyboard? I said, I don't know what. I had to get it back to the high school. And he goes, what? Yeah. Then what are you going to play? I said, nothing. And we already had all the neighborhood coming over and watching us, and it was already known that I had the charisma thing. I call it. You know, you can't sell it, you can't buy it, you can't teach it, can't throw it away. It's just there. And God bless me with that. I had a knack of entertaining people and making them have a good time with me. I mean, have good times. And so they really couldn't say anything about it. But Warren Rogers, he was mad at me for about a year on that.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said you had it, because I've always said that you know, there's a lot of people with great voices and great guitar players, but they don't have it.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever it is. You know, and I've seen you on stage so many times, and you definitely have it to this day.
Well, you know, if everybody says, well, I used to say the little, I call them little musicians, when they make fun of other guys, then they say, how long can that guy sing Gloria? Well, 58 years and counting. Because I didn't just sing Gloria, you know. I had a total of 6 national hit records, you know, and 2 million sellers. And now I have a platinum album. Do you know that?
No, which one?
Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, cool.
Because I'm in the soundtrack and it's platinum.
Is Gloria on the soundtrack or what
no,
song?
No, Dark Side.
Oh, it is.
I awesome. Wrote it. He sold grossed $380 million, which means I'm getting paid 380 million pennies, which if you, that's 380.
I got to get my calculator.
$380,000.
Mazel tov.
but I'm old. You know, to those kind of, you know, there's a lot of musicians in L.A., and there's three kinds. The ones that think they're going to be famous, the ones that somebody screwed them out of being famous, and some that they would have been famous, but somebody did the wrong thing. Grow up. You know, being famous is you're one of the luckiest people in the world. You could be great and never be famous. You could be the best guitar player, better than Nugent or Brian May, any of those guys. But if you're not in the right place at the right time and you don't have the luck of the draw, you won't be famous. I had the luck of the draw, the Shadows. We were really good, but we're at the right place at the right time, did the right song.
Well, and you've got a lot of your start at a place called The Cellar in Arlington Heights that you and Paul Sampson were very instrumental in creating. And so many great bands played there, like Cream, The Who, The Birds, and a lot of the Chicago bands. But more importantly, you guys, the Shadows of Night, play there on a regular basis.
Yeah, we're the only band that played there for the first 6 months. That was it.
Were you like the house band?
Yeah, Shadows was our club. We played there. And then we started picking opening bands. And that's when the Ravens, which had Danny Boffin, who was in the second Shadows, the Shake Shadows, and Nugent with Amboy Dukes, Dave Grundhofer with the Huns, who went on to be in Europe. The first band I picked, I handpicked them because I loved the way Jimmy Rogers sang in the Mods, and I used to rehearse with them. And the only other Jimmy I know that spelled his name J-I-M-Y. And I don't know what that is, but that was, maybe I was saving ink. I was green. I was being green. But just seemed right to me. And there's J-I-M-I and all that other stuff, but I'm J-I-M-Y.
Okay.
Or Jimmy.
Jimmy.
As my English girlfriend just called.
Well, let's get back to the Van Morrison song, Gloria. That's the song that put your band on the map.
You mean Van Morrison's B-side of Baby Please Don't Go.
Well, yeah, that's right. And obviously yours became the ultimate version, top 10 hit in 1966. Can you tell us a little bit about the backstory behind Gloria?
Well, like I said, before I even really was gotten the band, I had the Kinks, Animals, Yardbirds, Pretty Things, because my cousin, cousin Jimmy Spassato, was in the Army, and he was stationed in Germany, and they had all that stuff before, you know, it was took almost a year before it got over here. So when the Shadows came out, we already had all the songs they were just hearing on the radio. You Really Got Me, All Day, All Night, Don't Let Me Miss It, and Should, The House of the Rising Sun. Eric Burden, by the way, is one of my favorite singers. And he's a good friend of mine now.
I read his book, I Was an Animal, But I'm All Right Now. It's out of print, but he really told all in that book, and but he I think he's one of the greatest singers of the rock and roll era.
He is. Paul Rogers, Freddie Mercury.
You mentioned the Pretty Things, and a lot of people who talk about the British Invasion don't really know who the Pretty Things were.
Well, and those are only the real top 40 ones. Right? Mm-hmm. Anybody that knows anything, you know, knows the Pretty Things.
Well, just going back to Gloria, Just tell us why your version was a little different than Van Morrison's, and how did that come about? Because he didn't get any radio play, and you guys got great radio play.
He had questionable lines. She comes to my room, and there she makes me feel all right, which I don't think is questionable. I have many more than that. But we changed that line. But, you know, everybody thinks Clark Weber told us to change the line. I don't think that's what it was. I think it was the fact that Our Glory has an open strum. So it actually has four chords instead of three. And it's more rhythmic. It's, it doesn't quite have the hesitation in it. Usually when you play the open string, the open guitar with no fingers on it, that's a chord. And that's that fourth one is in ours. Ours was just rhythmic, and it was, the them version was longer, because it was a B-side. It was longer, like, for instance, it's like, then there does go in a solo. There's a couple open, strums, and then they decide to play the solo. The little things like that just made ours an obvious A side. And when it quiets down, for she come around here, just about me. Or is Van? Come out here, keep up in it. That's Van. The bass is out of tune there. Little thing, But before Jimmy Page played that lead on that version, that's Jimmy Page, by the way.
I didn't know that. That's good.
He told me, I played your solo.
That's pretty neat.
But, Van Morrison, I love him. He's a great singer, and the buddy from Gloria financed his solo career. The way I look at it, we're pretty even.
You helped him out, too.
Yeah, and he helped me, I helped him.
Well, everyone growing up in the 60s loved Gloria and would sing along to the radio. It was such a hit, it sold over 8 million copies.
Well, so many people have done it that it's easy to play. Yeah. Especially our way with the open
chord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one of the top three. Little Steven, when Gloria was inducted, 2019, inducted into the Hall of Fame in Cleveland. That's what he said. It was one of the first songs he learned how to play, that everybody learned how to play. And Jimmy Sands and the Shadows of Night version is officially in the Hall of Fame.
The one thing I disagree with is that your guys were dubbed the American Rolling Stones. I always thought you were more like the Yardbirds.
Well, we're across. Well, we know we had that feedback thing going in kind of cut time, when you go to like the end of the songs, end of Make Your Mind does that, end of Shapes of Things does it. We became very good friends with the Yardbirds and the Animals and the Stones, because here they were all imitating Chicago blues, mm-hmm. and we're from Chicago doing the blues.
Right.
So,
well, let's play that song, Gloria. Jimmy, you want to spell it out for us? What are we going to play?
G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria.
That was pretty good.
I don't sing the Glorias. I did on the record, though.
You did? Well, here we go. Let's play Gloria.
Like Tay Bad, my baby. She come around. She's about 5 feet four. Up from her head to the ground. Now she come around here just about midnight. Make me feel so good. Make me feel alright. And her name is G L O
Gloria,
G-L-O-R-I-A,
Gloria.
she comes around here just about midnight. She made me feel so good. I want to tell you, she made me feel all right. Comes walking down my street. Why don't you come up to my house? Knock upon my door. And then you call out my name. That made me feel all right.
Well, that first album, Gloria, had a lot of blues covers. Songs by Willie Dixon, Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker. So how did the kids...
Chuck Berry.
And Chuck Berry?
Don't forget that, because that, I played harp on that song. That's the only song I ever played harp on, because Joe Kelly was such a tremendous harp player. Tommy Shafour was kind of the Bob Dylan Beatles harp player, and I was third chair. So I could play it, but I gave up because we already had the ultimate harp player, so forget it.
All right. Well, as a kid from the suburbs of Chicago, how did you get hooked on Chicago blues?
Sang a lot of different stuff. One of my early on definite favorite influences was the Everly Brothers, you know, and Ricky Nelson, Elvis, Gene Vincent, and Eddie Cochran.
Right. Was it so? Was it what came first? The British guys giving us the blues back, or
no? We were already.
Was it into? Were you?
It was kind of simultaneous. Cause same time, the first Stones album, we were already doing Boom Boom and Hoochie Coochie Man and Oh Yeah, you know, so. I found it very flattering and enlightening that Mick Jagger told me that, well, all the blues bands in England know the Shadows of Night. We were all trying to imitate Chicago blues, and you were from Chicago.
Well, let's play I Got My Mojo Working first by Muddy Waters, and then we're going to play the Shadows of Night version.
Working
Well, I hope you're enjoying the show. Please stay tuned for part two of that classic rock show broadcasting on WHRULP 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7.